Kvod Mayri Varabi, Rab David Lifshitz, Shlita, Ramim, Rosh Yeshivas, distinguished guests, members of the Histadrus Musmachei HaYeshiva, Talmidim and friends. As you've already heard, this shiur is dedicated to the memory of Mayri Varabi, Rav Shmuel ben Rav Shlomo Belkin, Zichrono Levracha, and it is, as it always is, whenever possible, delivered on the yard site of the great Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, Zichrono Levracha, of Kovna. It might be interesting to point out that just this past year, one of our Talmidim, who just came back from the Soviet Union, told me that they were about to destroy the old Beis HaKvaros in Kovna, but through a great deal of intercession, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan's and his son's Kvarim were removed to a new Beis Olam in Kovna, and I think it's at this occasion it's worth simply bearing that in mind. Our shiur this morning will deal with the general theme of machshava and dibur, thought and speech, which are two of the three, the trilogy of machshava, dibur, and maaseh. Unquestionably, in Yahadus, dibur has a special role, and the best proof is Matan Torah. We read in Vayis Chanan, "Vayadaber Hashem Alechem mitoch ha'esh, kol dvarim atem shamim utmuna enchem ro'im zulasi kol." The whole of Matan Torah is based upon the word, upon the dvar Hashem, upon the zulasi kol. Bria Sa'olam takes place through dibur. Basara ma'amaros nivra olam. 10 times vayomer, Bracious itself is a vayomer. And the Mishnah continues in Ovis v'haylo b'ma'amar echad yochel hibore. The power of a word is to create or to destroy a world. Again, the power of the word. In the Kabbalah teaches a great deal about the creative capacity, the divinely creative capacity of the word. The word of Hashem is what really creates and sustains all of existence. And the Ari HaKadosh taught that the Asara Ma'amaros, they themselves are what sustain the Bria. That, for instance, when the Torah says, Yishritzu Hamayim Sheres Nefesh Chaya, it is these words which make the whole order of the natural order of Shrotzim stay in existence. And even though the Torah speaks the Yehi, and Embracious speaks only about the large segments of Bria, but through Chilufei Yisiyos and Seirufim, everything in the universe, no matter how small or insignificant, even Avonim V'Ofar, the least little thing, somehow can be derived from the original Asara Ma'amoros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which the world was spoken into being, as it were. And in Chassidus this continues, the Baal Shem Tov interprets the pasuk in Tfilim in Tehillim, La'olam Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav Bashamayim, that La'olam Hashem, your word stands in the heavens. What does it mean? That the heavens exist because of your word. Which word? Yehi Rakia Besoch HaMayim. It is the word which gives the meaning, not only the meaning, but the ability to survive and to exist in all of the Bria. And in the Halacha, of course, there are Tilim Halachas about the role of Dibur, of speech. And one can mention just en passant, Mechamer and Shabbos, Neder, Shvua, Birkas Hashem, Kiddush Hayom, all kinds of halachas that deal with the word. But the problem that I want to speak about today is the role of thought, of machshava. Because certainly machshava has a role. Proof, the dinim of kavana. Without kavana, both for a mitzvah and kavana for hezek or for tzicha or for nidvar avera. But this is true only when you connect machshava to dibur or to maaseh. That's when kavana plays a role. What about machshava by itself, taken independently of anything else? Machshava as such. After all, machshava is a very light kind of thing. Teitzei rucha yoshev la'admasai bayom hahu avdu eshtonaisav. It's a thing that The word once spoken is heard, it's recorded. An act is seen, it's felt, it has consequences. A thought, once a man dies, if the thought is unspoken, then it disappears. A hirhur, or machshava, is more abstract than speech. And indeed, in all of Yahadus, the power of machshava is discussed. In Kabbalah, it's very important. Chokhmah, Bina, Vadas are the application, the development of thought. Keser is the Ratzon Ha'elyon, the will, which is also an element of thought. In Machsheves Hayadus, in Jewish philosophy, the Rambam spoke in Platonic terms about the importance of Machshava as greater than Dibur and Ma'ase, and the value of idea and of thought. And the same thing is true in every area. Hasidus made a great deal to do about Machshava. It emphasized in an extreme form the importance of Kavana and the importance of Lishma. And it paid a great deal of attention to the negative thoughts that a person has. Machshavas zaras. But today, of course, our business is not with Kabbalah, with Hasidus, and with philosophy. Our concern is with halacha. In halacha, a major area for dealing with the role of machshava is the question of hirur kedibur. Hirur means thought. Whether hirur is recognized as dibur. Indeed, there's a whole list of sugyas and of principles that kind of shade in one to the other across a spectrum. There's dvarim shebalev and halach and hirur kedibur and shemeya kaona and answering amen. All of them deal with the role of machshava as it comes closer to the area of dibur. Today we shall be discussing the sugya of hirur kedibur, and then having, I hope, been able to enlighten the area in some measure, try to see how it relates in some restricted way to another sugya, that of Shomeya Ka'ona. The major makar in Shas for Hirur Kedibur is in Brochus Daf Chaf Amud Beis, Machlokes Ravina and Avchizda, where Ravina says Hirur Kedibur Dami, and Avchizda disagrees and says Hirur Lav Kedibur Dami. And we shall go back to that in but a few moments. But first, I would like to list a number of questions about the whole concept of Hirur Kedibur and see if these kashas together can be resolved by one basic understanding of the whole sugya. Let me begin with the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Aleph of Brochus Halacha Zayin. Rambam says, Kol ha-brochas kulam ne'emarin b'chol halacha zayin. Kol ha-brochas kulam tzarich she'yashmi'a la'ozno ma'shehu omer. When you make a brocha, you have to articulate it and pronounce it so that your ear can hear what your mouth says. That's l'chatchila. What happens if you fail to make the brocha that way? Em lo yashmi'a la'ozno? Then yotza, bein she'hotzi b'svasa, bein she'birach b'libo. If you did not speak the bracha so that you can hear it, then even if you spoke it too low to hear it, or you didn't speak it at all, you are not motzi b'svasayim, but you merely did it mentally, berach b'libo, then b'di'eved you are yotzei. What does this Rambam tell us? Hear the kedibur dami, hear the lav kedibur dami. Obviously, hear the kedibur dami, hear the kedibur dami. However, this Rambam is problematical. Because the Rambam seems to contradict himself in another halacha, where he seems to say the reverse. It's not my kasha, it's the Shagasarius' kasha. Shagasari and Simen Vov. In Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chav Dalad, halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes as follows. Yesh dvorim shehen asurim b'shabbos, af api she'enam domim l'mlocha ve'enam mevi'im l'dei mlocha. It's a whole series of things that are also because of Maaseh Chol, because it simply is profane, not because it has anything to do with melacha. Why were they usa? And he quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya. Mishum she'ne'amar, im toshiv mishabos raglecha. If you will keep your feet from violating Shabbos, asos chafotzecha b'yom kodeshi, from doing your business on the yom kodesh. V'ne'amar, and it says v'chibadetoy me'asos derechecha mimso chefzecha v'daber dover. That kibbutz Shabbos means not to do your usual things, mitzoy chefzecha, looking for business. V'daber dover, and speaking. Lefichach, says the Rambam, Asur la'adam lahalech b'chafosov b'shabbos. You're not allowed to do business, not only to seal business, but to go about your business. Afilu ledaber behen. Even to talk in business matters, kagon. Shiyadaberim shutafai. You speak to your partner and say, mayim kar lamachar, or mayikne, or hech yivne bayis zeh, uveize schoro yelech lamachar ploni. All these matters, whether it's real estate or merchandise or computers, whatever it is. Kol zech yotze bay asur shenemar, why? Vedaber dovar, dibur asur, and now come the critical words, dibur asur, hirhur mutar. So you're not allowed to talk in divrei chol, mitzol chafzecha, on Shabbos, but you're allowed to think it. So what does the Rambam say? Hirhur kedibur dami, hirhur lav kedibur dami. Lav kedibur dami. But in Hilchas Brachas, what did he say? Hirhur kedibur dami. Will be a direct contradiction of the Rambam, a direct steerer. As a matter of fact, the Shagasai isn't the first to raise this in a different form. If you look in Brachas and the Rosh, quotes Rabbeinu Yaina and the Taisus the Rosh, the problem already exists. But the Shagasai puts it as a matter of a direct contradiction, a direct steerer in the Rambam. Second kasha will seem almost trivial, and yet because it's a balabatish kasha, yet some of the Achrayim mention it. And if you think about it, it should present itself to us immediately. Kasha is this. According to Ravina, who says Hirur Kedibur, and as we saw, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Brachos that Hirur Kedibur, tell me, how can you ever daven Shemin Esra? The halacha is, if you daven Shemin Esra and you're mafsik and sicha b'teila, you tell someone, please put on the coffee or please get me the newspaper in middle of Shemin Esra. What's the halacha? You have to be chose either l'rosh ha-brocha, depending on what the sicha b'teila was, or l'rosh ha-tfilah, right? So if you're mafsik with diburim, you have to return to the beginning. Now if you say hirur kedibur, how many people go through an entire Shemin Esra without machshav ezaris, without some kind of strange thought? I mean, not everyone has that ability to concentrate. And when you say Shemin Esra, very often, roiva anoshim. I mean, everyone outside of this room, everyone in this room, I'm sure, never has a strange thought during Shemin Esra, but other people do. And therefore, the question is, how are they ever yotze davening? Because if they have a machshava zara and hirur kedibur dami, then they should have to be chozel l'rosh tefila, or at least l'rosh bracha. You'd have to keep on going back and back and back. A Shemin Esra could take 4 or 5 hours if you're successful. Because who says that if you had a machshav azara the first time, that you repeat, you're not going to have it again? The machshav azara salai shkotzel lochos kaibim zechayin. They're there. And it's a major problem how to concentrate and focus your own mind. Third kasha is from a Gemara. And daf tesvav me da brachas daf tesvav me dalef. If you have Gemaras with me, we can go. The Mishnah says as follows: Hakarei es Hashma v'loy hishmiya la'ozno yotza. You're reciting the Shema, and you didn't hear it. You didn't articulate it strongly enough. You're yotza. That's the Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Amar yotza. You are yotza. So Rabbi Yosi, I'm sorry. Rabbi Yosi Amar lo yotza. Rabbi Yosi says that you're not Yosef. If you say the Shema, you don't hear yourself saying it, you are not Yosef. So the Gemara says, Tanan Hosam, we learned in the first Perek of Truma, Cheresh amadabe v'ena shemeya. If you have someone who is hard of hearing, but he can speak, lo yitram. L'chatchile, he shouldn't be given, it shouldn't be mafresh Truma. V'im taram trumasai Truma. But b'di'eved, his Truma is okay. So the Gemara says, "Man tana cheresh medaber v'ene shemeya di'avad in lechatchila lo." Which tana is it who agrees with this Mishnah that I cheresh hamashemeya shemeya medaber v'ene shemeya that lechatchila he should not be torah, but for the avad the truma is good. Amar Rav Chisda Rabbi Yosi, this is Rabbi Yosi. This man akarias hashma v'leishmiyo aznai yotza divrei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosi amar lo yotza. Rabbi Yosi says, if you're not Mashmiya la'ozno, then even b'di'evad you're not Yosei. So the Gemara continues, Ad kan leikam Rabbi Yosi la'yotza. When does Rabbi Yosi say you're not Yosei? That's only true, gabei krishma di'oraisa. That is only true with kriyashma, because he holds that kriyashma is di'oraisa. So it has to be v'dibar tobam, and if you didn't speak so that your ear can hear, you're not Yosei. But that's only when it comes to kriyashma. Aval tuma mishum brochahi. What's the whole reason that a cheresh should not be mafresh truma lechatchila? Because he can't make a brocha, because he can't hear the brocha. It's only because of brocha. Ubracha the Rabbanan. Bracha is only the Rabbanan, it's not the Araisa. V'loi b'bracha talya milsa. And hafroshas atzuma, but the eved is a mitzvah shebemaseh. It doesn't depend on the... You have to make a bracha lachatchil. If you didn't make a bracha, if you put on tefillin, didn't make a bracha, you hate the mitzvah of tefillin, of course. So it doesn't depend upon the bracha. The key vega in the drush v'chiddush al asar is amazed at the whole arichas that the Gemara goes through. You know, man tana, we learn here chedesh medabe v'nishemeya and akasha ad kamay kaimay abiyosi. He says, what's going on? What's the salka daitach? What is the havamina? That Rabbi should hold that a chedesh medabe v'nishemeya is not yaitze b'diavad. That's impossible, because a few mishnayos later in perek, the same perek aleph of Truma, just a few lines down, the Mishnah says that an ilaim, one who is mute, trumasai truma. So an ilaim, it means an ilaim who can hear but cannot speak. If he went and he was mafresh truma, but the eved trumasai truma, and the ilaim certainly cannot be mashmi eliyazno, he's worse than he can't speak at all. Nevertheless, you see that trumasai truma. So what kind of havamin is that a chedesh should be worse? A chedesh at least can articulate it. At least he can say something. The ilaim can't even do that. And if the Mishnah says that an ilaim shetoram trumasai truma, then certainly the reverse of the two defects. A cheresh who cannot hear but can speak certainly should be trumas by truma. What was the half a minute of the Gemara that the Gemara has to go into this whole arichas? I'll add another kasha, number four. On this Gemara, and this comes from Rabbi Kiva Eger's son, Reb Shloim Eger. In fact, it's to be found in a sefer that was just printed this past year, published by Moshe Rav Kook in Eretz Yisrael, the Tshuvas Reb Shloim Eger. And he mentions his father's kasha. He was still the Chayim Chayuso. He gives the Bichas Chayim for his father. And he says, and I'll ask even a bigger kasha. And he says as follows. My father, he says, talked about the Havamina of the Gemara. He says, I'll talk about the Maskana of the Gemara. You say that a Cheresh, who is a Medabe Vena Shemeya, B'dieved Trumasai Truma. He says, what kind of kasha is it if it's Trumasai Truma or not Trumasai Truma? The whole conversation of the Gemara seems to be superfluous, because at any rate, it certainly is no worse than Mahara. What happens if I didn't say a word? I didn't say a word. Cheresh, yo, not Cheresh, Ilem, Stama Pikeach. If I thought the bracha, then the halacha is Ramam Pasul la halacha and brachas, Hira Kedibah. So it has to go into the whole conversation of Cheresh or not Cheresh. Hira Kedibah, I was yet to the bracha already. At any rate, we have several difficulties with the concept of Hira Kedibah. What I'd like to say in response is this. In that Perek Aleph of Trumas, where the Mishnah talks about Cheresh and Ilem, you have in three Mishnayos all the halachas of Cheresh and Ilem. And the Mishnah says that a Cheresh she'eino medaber ve'eino shemeya, he has neither. Even by the Eved ain't Trumasai Truma. But a Cheresh ha'medaber ve'eino shemeya, he does speak, but he can't hear, or the opposite. And Ilem, who is mute, he's not Medaba, but he is Shomeya. Those two, contrary to the Cheresh, She'ena Medaba Ve'ena Shomeya, Trumasai Truma, L'chatchila not, but the Eved, Trumasai Truma. Now, it seems to be fairly clear that the halacha of Cheresh HaMedaba and Ilem HaShomeya, where he's only locally in one of his senses, that Trumasai Truma by the Eved is because of Hira. They are mahara the bracha, they think the bracha, and therefore, on the principle of hira kedibadami, hira kedibadami is also b'di eved halacha, and therefore b'di eved, the bracha is a bracha. However, and this is what I would like to be mechadesh, which I think will answer a number of our problems. The din of hira kedibah really is, it's a bold one. The halacha takes something which is in one realm, the realm of abstract thought, nothing substantial, and tells us that we are going to treat it as if it were spoken so that everyone could hear it. You could even put it on a tape recorder. Hit or you can't record. Dibur is there, it's real. In order to be able to say that hit or kadiba, one more thing must be necessary. And that is that the maharher, the person who does the thinking, must want his hit or to be kadiba. In order for Hiddur to be Kedibur, it's not enough that you have to, that thinking alone is automatically regarded as Dibur. No. You must have, not only must you have Kavona, what you're being Mahadur, you must have a Rotzoin, a will, that my Hiddur should be accounted. It should be Yechoshev Kedibur. It should be accounted as a Dibur. And only when I want it to be a Dibur, then my thought plus my Rotzoin make the Hiddur strong enough, indeed, to be reckoned as a dibber. Then we say hiddur kedibberdam. Now, therefore, if you accept this, you must have a rotzon, a specific, declared, explicit will that the halachic principle of hiddur kedibber should be operative. All right. Then if you say this, and take the cheresh ha-medabav eina shemeya. Cheresh ha-medabav eina shemeya, if he simply was mahara, then indeed hiddur kedibberdami, because he wanted the hiddur to be accounted a dibber. But if this cheresh ha-medabavesh eina shemeya went ahead and was moitzias abrocha b'sfosayim, he articulated it, what does that show? It shows that because he went and he spoke the bracha, that he is relying on his speech and he is not relying upon his hiddur. That automatically he's megala das, he reveals that he does not have the rotzon that his hiddur should be accounted a dibber. He may have had the hiddur, but by relying upon speech, he shows he's not relying on hiddur. So memela, it can't be called his hiddur is not kedibur, because he didn't have the will that it should be hiddur kedibur, and his speech doesn't count. Why? Because he was not mashmi eliyazno, and Rabbi Yossi has to have mashmi eliyazno, and therefore the cheresh amadaba ve'ena shemeya who's moisi b'svasayim has neither hiddur, because he didn't want it to be hiddur kedibur dami, and he doesn't have dibur because he was not mashmi eliyazno, and therefore B'chod ha-machta, one fell swoop, he answered both Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha and Rabbi Shlomo Eger's kasha, father and son both. How? Rabbi Kiva Eger asked the question from the Hava Mina on Elaim. How can the Gemara have the Hava Mina that according to Rabbi Yosi, Acheresh, Medaber, Veshen, Meir, B'David is not good? Kal v'chomer from Elaim. An Elaim is good. So my answer is yes. An Elaim is good. Because an Elaim, since he cannot speak, has nothing else to rely upon but his hearer. So obviously if he thought and wanted his hiddur could be a dibur. That's why he's thinking. Therefore, hiddur kedibur dami, and einochanami b'di'evad, it's good. The truma is a truma. But when you come to the cheresh, since he can speak, that's his undoing. Since he can speak, and he does speak, if he didn't, it's one thing. But since he can, and he does, that shows that he's slaymich on the dibur, which doesn't help. He's not slaymich on the hiddur. Therefore, hiddur not kedibur dami. And that's why the Gemara has the havamina. And the same way, of course, we answer the shleimegah's kasha. Because the Shlomo Eger asked, B'di'evad, what's the difference if it's cheresh or not cheresh? And sof kol sof, hiddur kedibur dami. The answer is no. When you're speaking of a cheresh and medaber ve'ena shemeya, he may be misled into relying upon his dibur, which he cannot be mashmi ozno because he can't hear. And therefore, he is not yetza on hiddur because he didn't rely upon the hiddur that it should be operative and that hiddur should be kedibur dami. So with this way, we've answered Rabbi Kiva Eger and Rabbi Shlomo Eger. And I believe that in the same way we can answer the first two kashas we posed. Since we now know that hiddur kedibur dami operates only when you want it to operate, only when you have a special rotzon that it operate in that manner, therefore the first question we asked, how is it possible to get through finish with the Shemoneh Esrei if chas v'sholom you have a strange thought? The answer is you can have all the strange, you shouldn't have any hirhurim. I hope no one goes out and says that I hear this day gave a blanket heta for Hirhudim during tefillah. I mean, such worse things have happened to me, but I therefore have to make it clear that it should not be said. But no matter how many Hirhudim a person has that don't belong in tefillah, but this Hirhud cannot be kedibah. Why? How do I know it can't be kedibah? Because the very fact that he's speaking words of tefillah shows that he doesn't want his Hirhudim to be accorded the rank of dibah. So he has no rasa. These Hirhudim come to him by accident. They impose them. Zchongezetz. They hear Hudim come from without and impose themselves upon a person. But they're not because he wills them. Because if he willed them, he would speak them. He would stop davening. But the very fact that he's saying, Rafeinu, Shmakaleinu, Amavarach Sam Yisrael Basholom, shows that what he wants to do is to daven. He is only an Einus that he has the Hira. If the Hirhudim come to him by Einus, he has no Rasim for them. Therefore, they are not there. And the same thing will be true with regard to the Kasha that the Shagas Aryas and the Rambam. Ein nochanami that Rambam holds the halacha that hiddur kedibur dami. That's true in Hilchas Brachas, where he's thinking about Advar Mitzvah, where because I can't speak or I don't want to speak or I'm lazy, whatever it may be, I want my Hiddur to be accounted as a Dibur, so I make a Bracha, and B'dievet it's a Bracha. When it comes to Shabbos, where the Halacha is that Dibur Asur, Daber Dover Dibur is Asur, I can't talk to you in business, but I can. But if I think about business, do I want the Hiddur to be accorded the status of a Dibur? No, because I know that Dibur Asur. There's no reason I should want the Hiddur to be, and that really is the halacha of Dibur Asur Hiddur Mutter. Comes from the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun. So because I'm dealing with a Dvar Avera, or anything which has a Nidnud Avera, therefore obviously my Rosin is not that the Hiddur should be acknowledged as a Dibur, and therefore that Ammam in Perek of Dalad of Shabbos Ein Lachanami is passing the Gemara and Shabbos that Dibur Asur Hiddur Mutter, and there's no problem there. Hira ein hachanami is lapki dibur. That kind of hira cannot be accounted a dibur. Whereas when it comes to mitzvah such as hilchas brachas, there of course hira ka dibur. So far for hira ka dibur. Now I would like to explore briefly the connection of hira ka dibur to a related topic which I mentioned before, and that is shemeya ka'ona. As you know, it's Shemeya Kona means if you make a bracha and I have kavanah to be yotzei, then I'm yotzei with your bracha. As Shemeya, on the word ona should be taken in the sense not of answering, but of speaking. Ali be'er enula, or lechem oni sha'onin olav yona diyoma sha'onin olav dvaraha doesn't mean you answer; it means you recite. Shemeya Kona means hearing is like reciting. And I'd like to explore some of the differences and some of the relations of these two. I might add that in Rishonim and Achronim, the topic is already discussed. What is the difference between them? How they relate to each other? There's a Rashba and Brochus, and there's a Taisus and Shabbos, and there's Achronim go into it in great detail. I obviously don't aim at being exhaustive. I'll be very grateful if I don't prove to be exhausting. And just to touch upon certain aspects of the sugi of Shemeya Ka'ona that relate in this manner with the idea that I've tried to propound to Hira ka dibur. The Beis HaLevi on the Torah, his comments on the Torah, the end of the first Chelik, end of Bereishis, and Hilchas Chanukah, Kuntres Chanukah, the Beis HaLevi records a remarkable Ha'ara. The Chacham Echad told him, he says, look, if you say Shemeya Ka'one, then when you have Bichas Kohanim, sometimes, you know, you go to a shul, Bichas Kohanim, each one says it in a different way, and then it's sometimes it's nice, and sometimes it's a muhumah. Why do all the kohanim make the same yivarechacha, say bichas kohanim? Why don't you have one kohen saying yivarechacha, and the other kohanim will have nesias kapayim? They won't say a word, but they will through shemeya ka'one be able to participate in the mitzvah of nesias kapayim. So who has to have all the kohanim doing it? Shemeya ka'one, you can do away with all the kohanim doing it, one kohen does it. The Beis HaLevi rejects this suggestion. Rejects it in a very interesting way. He says, Shemeya Ka'ona only helps with something which requires exclusively amira, saying, and nothing else. The mitzvah is to say, then Shemeya Ka'ona means I, as it were, get credit because of my shmi, I get credit for your saying. But Bichas Kainim requires something beyond merely articulating the bracha. It requires that it be Bekol Ram. It has to be Bekol Ram. It has to be a loud voice. That's why they say it out loud. The Gemara says it comes from Emoel Kainim. So since it has to be Bekol Ram, he said, that's not Shayach Shemeya Ka'ona. Shemeya Ka'ona means that my hearing is a form of aniyah, is a form of recitation. But my hearing is not loud enough to qualify as a kol ram. So therefore, if I'm the kohen and I hear another kohen, so b'tarm shemeya ka'ona, yes, it's as if I said the bracha. But no, it is not as if I said it for kol ram. And therefore, shemeya ka'ona does not operate, and therefore all the kohenim, says the Beis HaLevi, have to recite it together. You know, there's a similar ha'ora by the Rogachova, Tzofes Paneya. Tzofes Paneya says, you know, we just went through Purim, And we come to Purim, it comes to the Aseres B'nei Haman, the Akara waits, and everyone reads the Aseres B'nei Haman. And he says, what's the reason for this minhag? He says very simply, is al pidin. The Aseres B'nai Haman have to be read B'neshima Achas, in one breath. He says, if they have to be read in one breath, then if I listen to the Baal Korah reading the reading the Megillah, how am I yetzer the Megillah? Through Shemaya Ka'ona. But that only helps for Shemaya Ka'ona. I get your words and they are my words. But I can't get your Neshim Achas. I can't adopt your one breath. That's a separate kind of thing. Therefore, we have to stop. I have to recite the have to recite the Aseres B'nai Haman B'Neshima Achas. We get credit for the Neshima Achas. And then we go back to the Baal Korah. He reads it. And we get credit for his reading of Aseres B'nai Haman, but not for his reading it B'Neshima Achas. All right. So basically, the Sofas Paneach is on the same track with the Beis HaLevi. However, it's only half the story. It's only half the story. The Beis HaLevi is attacked by the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, Zichrono Livracha, disagrees with the Beis HaLevi. It's two brothers-in-law who actually gang up here. It's the Chazon Ish, Zichrono Livracha, and Lahavdil Bein Chaim L'Chaim, his brother-in-law, the stipler of Kanyevsky, and his Kehilas Yaakov. And they both go together. One, the Kehilas Yaakov is Masber the Chazon Ish, and it's one attack. Chazon Ish says that maybe Ein Hachanami Bichas Kayanim is all right for Kolodam. It's all right with one Kayan. And maybe Shemaya Kona indeed does mean that I not only get credit for the other man's words, but also for his Kolodam. And what's the Hezba? Hezba is this. According to the Beis HaLevi, who says that only the words I get, not the Kolodam or not the Neshima Achas, Shemaya Kona means that my shmiya, my hearing itself, is accounted as the ona, and I am yetzei yedeicha vasai through my hearing alone. My hearing, in other words, is a form of speech. My hearing is a form of speech. However, it has nothing to do with the person who is doing the speaking. You are a kohen, and you're being mevarech, and I'm listening. Or you're making a brocha, hamaytzi lechem anoritz, and I'm listening. When shmeya kaina means my listening is as if your words come to me, but I have nothing to do with you as a person. You're completely separate. The Chazon Ish shita is that shmeya kaona means that the listener is the speaker. He becomes the ona himself, or as he puts it, ke'ein shliach ha'poiter es ha'shmeya. The owner, the korei, becomes my shliach. I'm the shemeya, and you are the owner. And shemeya ka'ona means that you become my shliach, and therefore you pater me from my chayiv that I have to listen. If I were to use my own words in trying to sharpen the difference and get the svaris of the Beis HaLevi on the one side and the Chazon Ish and the Kelis Yaakov on the other, I would say as follows. According to the Beis HaLevi, shemeya ka'ona is tfisas dvarim. I'm toface, I appropriate, as it were, your words, your content. I take your content. According to the Chazon Ish, Shemeya Ka'ina is toface the gavra, or the zehus. I appropriate not only your words, I appropriate you. I appropriate your identity. And you and I are fused into one. Or if you will, even a little bit sharper. According to the Chazon Ish, Shemeya Ka'ina is taken literally. I am a Shemeya, you are the one who recites, the owner. Then you become me. Shemeya Ka'ona. According to the Beis HaLevi, Shemeya Ka'ona is only an expression. It really should say Shmiya Ka'aniya. Hearing is like saying. It has nothing to do with the individuals involved, with the Gavra who is the owner and the Gavra who is the Shemeya. Therefore, according to the Beis HaLevi, Shemeya Ka'ona is what? Is Tfisas Dvarim. I only take your words. So if I take your words, I don't take the volume of your words. I don't take the Kol Ram. All I get is the words themselves. I'm Tfisas Dvarim. Whereas, and the same thing will be true about Neshima Achas in the case of the Sofas Paneach of the Lagat Shavah. But according to the Chazon Ish, that Shemeya Ka'ona is a Tfisas Gavra or Tfisas Zehus. So what happens? If I hear you making the Bichas Ka'onim and I'm a Shemeya, I become you. And since you are saying it b'kol adam, then it's as if I said it b'kol adam. Shlucha shel adam kamaisa, if you will. So you become me and I become you, and therefore the Chazon Ish is able to say, he does, you know, no one should take this lahalacha, but his suggestion is that ein hachanami, when it comes to birchas kohanim, one kohen can make the bracha and the other one can take it for kol adam, because there's a tfisas gavra. If I appropriate you, then I take your kol adam or your nishimachas along with it. I believe that this machlikus between the Beis HaLevi and the Chazon Ish really is a very, so you say this thing, it's a fundamental machlikus. I'd like to show how in two other areas it goes back to Rishonim. And really, the machlokes is not a machlokes achronim, it's a machlokes Rishonim. First, legabei Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, Tosfos tells us in Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, to do what most of us do today, namely, that the Shliach Tzibur or the Baal Koreh reads the Taparsha, and he is mosi the Oleh with the Kriya. You get an Aliyah, you make a bracha, and the other fellow lanes. How can you make a bracha on his mitzvah? Can I make a bracha on the tilas lulav and you go and weigh the lulav? How can I do it? The answer is, when I hear the Shliach Tzibur leinin, he's reading the parsha, Shemeya Ka'ona, so I can make a bracha because I'm there too. That's what Taisu says. The Rosh in Megillah, also Tshuva Sarash, argues against Taisu. He holds two interesting things with regard to Aliyah. Number one, and Eino Baki, someone who cannot read, and Eino Baki can never get an Aliyah. And Eino Baki can never get an Aliyah is against Taisus. Taisus will hold that even an Eino Baki gets an Aliyah. And not only that, even a Baki who gets an Aliyah is not Yotze unless he reads along Benachas, Belachash, together with the Baal Koreh. He has to read quietly with the Baal Koreh. And if he didn't, his bracha is a bracha Levatola. Why, in that case, what do you have to have a Shliach Tzibur for altogether? Well, that's a separate question. I don't want to go into this because of Tamei Akriya, there shouldn't be a machloikis about who lanes better. It doesn't, anyway. And the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rosh, which means you have to lane silently along with the Baal Kriya. Beis Yosef brings a third shita, maybe a third shita. I don't know. Beis Yosef quotes a Zohar in Vayakeo. The Zohar says, apparently like Tosfos, he says that only one person should do the reading. That should be the Shliach Tzibur. Otherwise, silence. No reading along. Why? Ki'ilu kablin lo haishato mitura desinai. Because Kriyas HaTorah has to be a reenactment of Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, the Rabbanu Shel Olam spoke, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, and everyone else just listened. They didn't repeat it. They didn't try to anticipate what he's going to say, as sometimes happens. They just kept quiet, and they listened. And therefore, the same thing is true, says the Zohar, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah. It would seem, therefore, that the machlokes of Tosfos and Rosh, and possibly the Zohar, is the same machlokes that was explained between the Beis HaLevi and the Chazon Ish. How? Tosfos will hold that Shemeya Ka'ona is a Tfisas Gavra. When I listen to the Baal Koreh, I am the Baal Koreh. And therefore, even if I'm an Eino Baki, even if I can't read, but nevertheless, it makes no difference. He reads for me, and through Shemeya, I become the owner. I'm Tosfos, the person himself, his very identity. And therefore, I can get away with it, because I am the Shliach Tzibur, and I don't even have to, whether I'm a Baki or an Eino Baki, I don't have to read along with him. He's doing it for me. He does everything. But the Rosh will hold that Shemeya Ka'ina is not a Tfisas Gavra. It's only what we call the Tfisas Dvarim. I only get his words. Therefore, the Eino Baki cannot get an Aliyah altogether, because he doesn't know what the words mean. He doesn't know what the words mean. I'm sorry. He cannot get, therefore the Eino Baki cannot get in the Aliyah at all. Because even if you say that he is through Shemeya Ka'ina, he is able to appropriate the words, he's missing something else. What is he missing? If let's say Shemeya Ka'ina, according to the Rosh, Shemeya Ka'ina, what's wrong if I'm an Eino Baki? Why can't I get his words? He's waiting for me. There's one other halacha. A Kriyas HaTorah requires you should be mistakel atoich haksav. You have to read from the ksav. So he says, if I'm an Eino Baki, I'm being oiler, Eino Chanami Trusha Meya Koina, I can get the Dvarim of the Baal Kriya of the Shatz. But Habatol atoich haksav I don't have. Why don't I have Habatol atoich haksav? Because I don't know what's going on. What's the use of looking if I don't know what's written there? So I have no Habatol atoich haksav. I should get it from the Baal Koreh? No. Because Shemeya Ka'ana doesn't work that far. Shemeya Ka'ana is only Tfisas Dvarim. I'm not that Gavra. What do I do with the with a Bucky, if a Bucky gets an Aliyah. So there the Rosh says, there I can be Tyfus his Dvarim, and I am looking in the Ksav, and since I'm a Bucky, I do know what's written. What's wrong with that? We'll have to say that the Rosh holds that his Aniyah and my Habata don't get together. My looking in the Ksav and your reading and my looking are not mitzaref. In other words, the Shemeya Ka'ona as being Tfisas Dvorim alone will only help for Dvorim. I myself add of my own self Habata L'Tarech HaKsav. He says, no, that's not mitzaref. It's two different people involved. And the halacha is the person who does the right laning, the person who does the reading should do the laning, Yiddish, reading, mitach aksav. And I can't have my reading, my use of my eyes, and your voice, and your use of your voice to get together. So therefore, according to the Rosh, we would say the Rosh would hold to Tfisas Dvarim, Ke'en, the Beis HaLevi, excuse the anachronism, I don't mean to go backwards, but the theory we cited in the name of Beis HaLevi, and Tosfos will hold its Tfisas Gavra like the Chazon Ish. The Zoya, you could say one of two ways. Either the Zohar holds with Tosfos that Shemeya Ka'ona is a Tfisas Gavra, and therefore there's no reason, and therefore when I hear you read, it's as if I were reading Mitoch HaKsav, and therefore there's no reason for me to add anything of my own. Or I can say that the Zohar holds like the Rosh. The Zohar holds like the Rosh. And that Shemeya Ka'ona is only Tfisas Dvarim. Why does he hold that a Bucky doesn't have to read Benachas? Because he will hold against the Rosh that your Shemeya and my Habata L'Tarech HaKsav, your Ona, and my Armit Staref. So it's a side machlokes. Zohar will hold against the Rosh that if I'm a Bucky and I'm Ola, then I can get the credit for your reading through Tvisas Dvarim, and my Habata L'Tarech HaKsav, since I get credit for it, I'm also there. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he holds that is Tfisas Dvarim. One more machlekes. This I want to be. I'm a Dover B'Shem Mamra. This comes from my son-in-law, my Moshe Gratch, who is my chavrusa, who says he's mazba another machlekes in the same way as the machlekes within the Beis HaLevi and the Chazon Ish. And that is a famous machlekes of Rashi and Tosfos in Sukkah and Brachas, where Rashi says in Sukkah, it's really a shita sagayinim. He quotes the Bahag. He says that what happens if you're davening Shemadesa? You're late. You come to daven B'tzibur. And you're late, I understand that sometimes that occurs here. And while you're davening Shemanessa, the Shliach Tzibbe is already repeating, and he comes to Kedusha, or to Kaddish, Yehei Shmeira, but what do? You're caught in the middle of davening. So Rashi says, you stop, and you listen to the Yehei Shmeira, or to Kedusha, without opening your mouth, and therefore through Shemeya Ka'ona, you are Yotzei Kaddish and Kedusha, and when the Chazan finishes, you go back to your tefillah. This is the Shitas Rashi and Shitas Gaonim. The Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri in Tosfos, both in Sukkah and in Brachas, disagree. And they say that, listen, he says, what you have to do is keep on davening and ignore the Shliach Tzibbe. Why? Because if you're going to say Shemeya Ka'ona, then it's as if you were saying Shemanessa and you stopped and you said out loud, Yehei Shmeid Abba Mevorach. So what happens? You're being mafsik from Shemanessa. If you're being mafsik, then that's not what you want to do. And since Shemeya Ka'ona, it is a hefsik. And therefore, Rashi Tosfos holds that you should keep quiet, you should continue davening and ignore the Shliach Tzibbe. And really, according to what we said, this is the same machlokes, because Tosfos here will hold like Tosfos there. Tosfos in Sukkah and in Brachas will hold like Tosfos in Megillah. Namely, and like the Chazon Ish, that Shemeya Ka'ona is a Tfisas Gavra, or a Tfisas Zehus. You adopt the other person's identity. So Tosfos is right. If Shemeya Ka'ona means I got the other person's identity, the other person's gavra, what's a greater hefsik am I davening than becoming somebody else? I become somebody else. I'm another person. Certainly it's a hefsik. But Rashi will hold that Shemeya Ka'ina, Rashi in the Gonim will hold Shemeya Ka'ina is only Tvisas Dvorim. Tvisas Dvorim is not that kind of hefsik. I keep quiet. I, as it were, dogmatically, automatically, adopt the other person's Dvorim, and I continue with my Shemanesra, and I therefore do not have to regard my hearing as a hefsek. Okay. At any rate, if you accept what I say, then the machlokes achrayim is really a machlokes rishonim. So we have two different shitas. Whether Shemeya Ka'ona is fundamental, it's a tfisas gavra, or whether it is Shmiya Ka'aniya, whether it's only tfisas dvarim. Stipler, Kehilas Yaakov, Ask Akasha and the Beis HaLevi from the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, about Hiro Kedibur. I'd like you to listen carefully. If you have a Gemara, please look with me. The Mishnah says that from the days of Ezra, who was Mesakin Tefillah for a Balkeri, he held that if you're a Balkeri and you want to learn the Shema or learn Torah, you have to have Tefillah. He was Mesakin Tefillah for a Balkeri. So the Mishnah says, Balkeri Maharar Belibo Ve'ena Mevorech. A Balkeri, when it comes to the Zman Kriya Shema, and he wasn't Tevil, so what does he do? He should think the Kriya Shema. He should be Maharar in Kriya Shema, but not to make brachas either before or after. The Bichas Kriya Shema, the two brachas before Shema, and the bracha after Shema, not, you don't have to be Mahara them, they're only the Rabbanim. So then Kriya Shema comes, you Mahara the Shema, you are not Mahara the Brachas, because they're not Mediadaisis. So the Gemara says that Ravina and Rav Chisda draw opposite conclusions from this Mishnah. Rav Chisda draws the conclusion, Ahiro, Lav Kedibur Domi, and Ravina draws the conclusion, Ahiro, Kedibur Domi. The Gemara says about Rav Chisda, about Ravina, who holds that Omar Avina Zaysa Meres Hiro Kedibadami. So the Gemara says, why? How does he know that from the Mishnah? That Balkeri Maharar Ve'enoi Mevorech. How do you know that Hiro Kedibadami? Because if you're going to say that Hiro is Lav Kedibadami, then why do you have to be Maharar altogether? If you're going to say that Hiro is